meditations of each and every heart. There's intention when we listen, there's intention when we speak, there's intention when we go about our lives. And there's intention to this morning's Bible reading. You're probably familiar with John 3:16. If you weren't before you walked in here, you're familiar with it now from the choir number and from the children's sermon and from our words of assurance and then our Bible reading today. So four times already. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. If you weren't familiar with it from the four times that it's been announced today and now the fifth time today during church, you've seen it in football games. With the signs, like that one. You've seen it painted in the eye black of some football players. That stuff that's used to reduce glare up there, and has John 3:16 in white on the black there. On the bottom of, I think it's Sonic, fast food cups. Do we have a Sonic around here? Maybe there's one in Batavia there. I think that's a Sonic. Or at the bottom of shopping bags. Anyone shop at Forever 21? No, it's Forever. Well, Forever 21, if you go in there, I think that they have it at the bottom of their shopping bags. And also, we see it sometimes in church. Sometimes, right? But the next verse isn't one that people remember as often. The choir sang it so beautifully today, and it was in the words of assurance, and it's in the reading. And I didn't mention it during the children's sermon because I wanted to mention it now, and I didn't want to mention it too soon in there. But that one, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So the whole intent of this whole thing, this really important verse in the Bible, John 3:16, it rests on John 3:17. God didn't do it for evil or ill purposes or that so people would be condemned, but did it so that people would be saved. It's not to tell folks that they're bad, or that things are hopeless, or that since they don't live the way a few powerful religious or political figures say that they're supposed to, that they're out of the God loves you club. And so since the intent, God's intent, is that the whole world would be saved, what happens if that doesn't happen? Does that mean that God fails if the intent of what God wants doesn't happen? And if we follow in typical Christian theology that God never fails, then doesn't what God's intent is have to happen? Right? You follow there? So God wants this to happen. If it doesn't happen, it can't not happen because God wants it to happen, because God doesn't fail. But what if someone doesn't believe? What if someone just doesn't believe? Because the verse there says that whosoever believes shall not perish, at least in the King James there. The next verse does have thoughts. That's John 3:18. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So now we've got a contradiction. God's intent is that this should happen. God doesn't fail, but if you don't believe, you're out. But God gets what God wants, and God wants the world to be saved. And that bit about believing is still there. It's present. I'm not sure what to do with it because it doesn't fit with what God wants. The point is not just a contention with me or thinking in the pews. It's been a point of contention among Bible scholars for years. All kinds of Bible studiers have asked these questions. Belief in means something more than simply acknowledging something as factual. But understanding belief as a requirement puts the ability for us to be saved on us and not on God. And if God is the one that does the saving and God is the one whose intent is that all should be saved, then somehow it can't be on us because that makes us able to limit what God is able to do. It bothers me that we can take something as wonderful and as beautiful as God's saving grace and make it into a you're in or a you're out scenario. But maybe consider this. If the intended audience for this verse, which was the Pharisees, it was Nicodemus, but it was really to all the Pharisees. Nicodemus was just the one who came in secret under these mysterious circumstances and said, I've got some questions for you. So if the intended audience is the Pharisees, and then by extension, the church, because we are like the Pharisees now. We are the keeper of the rules of the church, and anyone who is not part of the church is not the Pharisee. And that doesn't put us in good company, but that's really kind of the equivalence of what we are. We hear this. I think that Jesus intended, by the context of the whole story, what was going on. I think we'd hear something like this. If you're trusting in the rules and the religious shows and looking for miracles to prove that you're doing it right, then you've completely missed the point. It's not about all of that. It's about God who loves you and who is here to set you free. That's the intent, especially directed at the Pharisees, the leaders, the church. And belief in God is something that grows. I guess it grows and it wanes, but it's a journey that somehow begins with a question, what is all of this? I don't understand. And it continues throughout our lives. A great example comes from the man who had a son with epilepsy in the Bible. Jesus said to the man, all things can be done for the one who believes. And the father cried out, oh, I believe, but help my unbelief. And the action here is on Jesus. It's not on the father. God leads us on our journey of faith. So we got that going for us. However, some still might be bothered by the idea that God has done it, and they get it whether they've asked for it or not. I understand that. How dare you impose your mandate on me? It doesn't just work in politics. What about in religious people who aren't religious? How dare you, God, impose your mandate on me that you're going to send me to your heaven whether I want it or not? And some might be bothered because it's not fair. I did everything right and someone else gets it even if they haven't done everything right. And that sounds a lot like the parable of the people who, I forget what it's called, the people were hired first, second, and third, and they all got the same wage at the end of the day, and the people that worked a full day said, that's not fair. They didn't work a full day, and they get a full wage, and I should get more. Some people think it's not fair. How could God save people that don't follow my rules? Well, because God gets what God wants. Others, though, they may be bothered because they want to be the one in control of their lives. And maybe not for negative reasons. Maybe it's because they have felt controlled or been abused or lived in abusive situations where they felt voiceless and powerless. And I don't have a good answer for that one. If you've been in any situation similar to that, voiceless, abused, powerless, please seek the help of somebody that you trust. You deserve respect and dignity, kindness, compassion, and a path toward healing because you and your voice matter. So Nicodemus came to Jesus. He wanted to continue his faith journey, and he came in secret and brought up the whole how can a person be born more than once scenario, that question. I think he wanted a succinct answer based on language and definition, because we have Bible scholars who like to debate and wonder, and even in our Bible reading, the translation is wonderful because I think it has born again or born a second time. It has born from above. It has born of the Spirit, because they all kind of work together and they're all equivalent translations, yet they mean far different things to us. The way it's translated there, I think, shows the fluidity of how Jesus was talking about it. Nicodemus wanted a succinct answer based on language. Sometimes we like to have debates over language and definition. But Jesus wasn't playing that game. He wasn't. He really didn't have wordsmithing in mind on this night. He He just explained, you know, I didn't mean it that way. I meant it in a revitalizing, renewing, and renovating way. Revitalizing, renewing, renovating. See, God is the one who renews us. God is the one who revitalizes us. God is the one who renovates us. And it's about something much more than we can see, much more than we can wordsmith, much more than we can understand at any given time. But God's will for us is much deeper than that. And God's will is that all would be saved. And that encompasses a whole lot. Sure, we look forward to when we die and we get to go to heaven, but there's an awful lot of living to do now, an awful lot of world-changing and bettering to do now, an awful lot of doing the things that God wants us to do now. And there's a whole lot of I don't know in it. I don't know exactly which way to go. I don't know exactly which way is the perfect thing to do. I don't know, but I'm going to try, and I'm going to trust that God is guiding. I'm going to trust that the things that I'm doing, I'm going to trust that the things that we are doing are making the world a better place, because God has called us to make that one of our primary focuses. When we live in a I don't know, and I'm not sure, but I'm doing my best world, and in that way, there's an awful lot of giving folks a break when I don't do it right. When we trust that God is the author of the renewal, of the revitalization, of the renovation that's going on in each of our lives. When we do that, we don't have to be afraid to take a step. Just like this Pharisee Nicodemus did, he risked something there. He took a step outside of his comfort zone and probably could have been in an awful lot of trouble if he was found out. That's why he came in secret. But we don't have to be afraid to take a step, to move forward, to look at one another in love, to be the church that makes a difference. God wills that. God wants us to make a difference. We keep asking God to guide us on our faith journey. And sometimes that faith journey is deeply mysterious. Amen.